This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
And I was shocked because I was not expecting that. So yeah, I think it's a lot more common than we think because it's one of those things that people don't want to talk about.
I know you are doing the best that you can right now. Your relationships matter to you. You are important. And yet over time, we get stuck. We get lost or we stop showing up as our true self. We get hung up on the stories we tell ourselves, the comparisons, or feeling like we are not good enough. I'm Not Your Shrink is a podcast aimed at helping you feel connected to yourself, to others, and to live a life that is in line with what matters most to you. I'm Dr. Tracy Dalgleish, clinical psychologist and couples therapist. I bring you clinical knowledge and evidence-based research, experiences of sitting in the therapist chair, and being a wife and mother to talk about everyday issues we all face to help you change the dialogue in your life. Let's dive in.
Hey, podcast listeners. This week is Sleep Awareness Week. And I am so excited to be bringing the connection forward around your sleep and your overall well-being with today's guest. I have to tell you a story first because I think sometimes we minimize one of the most foundational and important things that we can do. For many of you, I know you've been following along on Instagram with me, and I have shared with you this persistent cough that has not gone away since sometime in January, I think January 6th. It was the first cold back when the kids went back to school after the holidays, and I can't get rid of this cough. And of course, I've been trying to maintain my regular routine. I like to wake up at 6, have some solo quiet time, work out, but I still can't kick the cough. So I decided to see one of my healthcare providers. And this provider just happened to really speak to what it is that I needed. It is so foundational. Are you ready? They said, cancel your workouts for the next week. Allow yourself to skip your 6 a.m. alarm and wake up at 7. Can you sleep until 7? Give yourself that extra hour. And it was almost like I needed this big dose of permission to allow my body the rest that it needed. And it just comes back to this tie-in around how important sleep is for us, how foundational it is, not only for our physical recovery and our bodies, but also for our mental health and emotional wellness. Something that Greg and I have really been attuning to in the past few months, especially since adding in my Live Lav products. So you've seen them before. That is, I'm using the Hoom band that I can wear and I can listen to their sleepy audio, which I love. There's one where I get on this train and it takes me, I don't even think I've made it to the end, but I get on this train and it's just this beautiful meditation / audio that takes me on the train to sleep. But what I've been learning is that I actually miss my sleep window. I miss the window in which I can fall asleep. And as a result of missing that window, a new surge of cortisol gets spiked up and keeps me awake for longer. And of course, then this is just this vicious cycle of not getting enough sleep, having a hard time falling asleep, and all of the cascading things to now leading to this long, week-long, weeks-long, month-long cough that I just have not been able to kick. All right, so today's guest and I are going to talk about prioritizing sleep over and above the stigma of what it means to sleep in a separate bed from your partner. So today I am giving you a replay in case you missed it, because this is such an important episode when it comes to parenthood and sleep. And we really are diving into the conversation around this label. I don't even like using the label. So just to let you know, I do not want to use this label, and I'm going to use it anyways because this is what people use. But I'm going to encourage you to find a different word. I would just say sleeping in separate beds, but the popular term is called sleep divorce. So you'll hear in the episode why I actually don't like this term and all the things that come with it. But when I first started this conversation with today's guest, it really was around normalizing something that I know so many couples do, and yet so many people are shamed or feel ashamed for doing this. And it was really about opening up the conversation. And a fun piece of this was actually one of the reels that Greg and I did showing us going into separate bedrooms to sleep went 12.5 million viral views. I can't even believe that, because it was just such a controversial topic. All right, let me introduce today's guest and then we'll go into this replay. Today's replay is with Renee Rina. Renee finished her PhD in psychology just days before quarantine in March 2020. And as she was stuck at home with her toddler, she decided to share honest and relatable mom content. In July 2020, she launched the Mom Room podcast, which has been at the top of parenting charts since its release. Renee is normalizing the ups and downs of motherhood and changing the narrative of what it means to be a mom. Let's go into this conversation. Renee, thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast. I'm so honored to have you sit with me here.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
And for those who don't know, I have also appeared on Renee's podcast, the Mom Room podcast. So we've had a chance to sit and chat before. But before we get started in a topic that I think so many people are going to benefit from, let's just start by you telling us, how did you get here with where you are? Your story is so cool.
So Tracy and I actually did our PhDs at the same school.
Yes.
Different years though. You were 2 years ahead of me, or one?
2013 I graduated. So,
oh, okay. So before, I was just starting my PhD in 2012. So
yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And so we had similar supervisors.
Yeah.
And our labs overlapped, exactly. Which is so cool. Yes.
Yeah. So during my PhD, when I was almost finished, I just had basically like revisions of my dissertation to do, and then to do the oral defense, which is like the scary part of a PhD. Mm-hmm. We had Milo. So I decided to take the full 12 months of the maternity leave from the program, mm-hmm. just focused on Milo. And then after my maternity leave, Milo started daycare. At this time we were living in the GTA. And then I finished up my PhD, did my defense, and then 3 days, literally, I think it was 3 or 5 days after I did my dissertation defense in Ottawa, Toronto shut down for mm-hmm. quarantine. So it was kind of like, you know, congratulations, you finished your PhD and now you're going to be stuck at home with your toddler.
Yes. Yeah. Which so March 2020, yeah. Which is just wild. I think so many of us can remember that feeling of kids home, everything's changing.
Yeah. And my husband is a physician. So he continued on with his regular work. Mm-hmm. And so it was really just me home by myself with Milo. Yeah. My husband's on call a lot. So yeah, it was a lot. And so during quarantine, I didn't have any school stuff to do because I was finished now. I fell into TikTok, which I had...
Which the whole world did at that time, right?
Yes. So I had... It's so funny because the previous fall, I kept hearing about TikTok. And like, I think Ellen DeGeneres had talked about it on her show. And I was like, what is this thing? Like, everybody's talking about it. So around Christmas time, I downloaded the app, and my Instagram account was the Mom Room at the time, because during my maternity leave, I was writing blogs and some Instagram content about things I was experiencing in motherhood after having Milo, mm-hmm. because it was kind of like, wow, this is a lot.
Yeah.
So then I made sure that I got my handle on TikTok, but then I didn't touch it. And I was like, this is weird. I don't know how to use it. And then in quarantine, I was like, this is the perfect time to start making TikToks. So basically what I did was create these little funny some serious TikToks on all the topics that I would write about on my blog, and then also that I would talk about on Instagram, and kind of take the trends that were happening on TikTok and redo them in like a mom life kind mm-hmm. of way. And so TikTok grew pretty quickly over quarantine. And then I started the podcast. And when the world started kind of going back to normal, my husband and I just decided that I would keep doing what I was doing. And so that's what I'm doing now. Long story, but that's how I'm here.
Support for today's episode comes from Loop Earplugs. Driving in the car with the dog whining and the kids fighting in the backseat is my definition of overstimulation. And the more overstimulated I become, the more irritable I am, and then I am not the mom I want to be. So I decided to give Loop earplugs a try, and I'm so glad I did. I was blown away by how comfortable they are and just how adjustable they are for my individual needs. I also love that they're stylish in my ears and not some big chunky piece. I've been using the Loop Engage, which focuses on decreasing the amount of noise around me, whether I'm in the car with the kids or if I'm at the show. I love this option because I don't want to miss out on what's happening around me, but sometimes I just need a little bit of support. Plus, we love their kids' version, which we were able to take to the movies for our highly sensitive child. I'm so excited that Loop Earplugs is offering you, my community, a discount so that you too can tackle those overstimulating moments while also still being engaged with the activities and the people you love. Visit loopearplugs.com and use my exclusive code Loop times Dr. Tracy for 10% off your order. That's LOOPX. DRTRACY for 10% off your order at loopearplugs.com. Support for today's episode comes from Cozy Earth. You know I am all about caring for ourselves, especially in these busy years with our young kids. We are pulled in so many directions, but I think it's so important for us to find ways to nurture ourselves that require no additional time from us. I should probably let you in on one of my favorite things to do to look after me, and that is to get a good night's sleep on amazing sheets. I am beyond thrilled to bring you Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products with an exclusive Mother's Day offer just for my listeners. We've got a code. It's shrink, S-H-R-I-N-K, for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Now, I didn't believe it until I tried them, but I firmly stand by my sleep improving with the temperature regulating technology, which adapts to your body's needs. For the past year, I have not slept on any other brand of sheets. Cozy Earth uses the very best fabrics, materials, and wares, offering superior softness for you to sink into at the end of those long days. I look forward to getting into bed, and we've been loving the sheets for over a year, and their sleepwear is so unbelievably soft, and it's made with such great quality. But the best part is that if you're worried about commitment, enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all of your purchases. Head over to CozyEarth.com and use promo code SHRINK for an exclusive 35% off, and give the luxury she deserves with Cozy Earth.
I really appreciate the space that you've created, because every time I come to one of your TikToks or your IG posts, I'm like, yes, that is an experience I can relate to. It's an experience my clients can relate to. And just this normalization of how hard motherhood is, how difficult it is, how we lose our sense of self, how our relationships change. That's something that you have so willingly shared with people that I think helps us to, in a time where so many of us felt alone and felt lonely. You put motherhood on its own. That's a really difficult time. We feel lonely. We don't feel connected to ourselves, to other people, to our partner. But then you add the pandemic on top of that, and that just exacerbated those feelings. And so that's something that I really appreciate about this space that you've created, is just this sense of like, oh, okay, like this is funny. Someone else experiences this and I'm not alone.
Yeah. And there's lots of topics that it's almost frowned upon to You know, like I think a lot of moms are afraid to say anything negative about motherhood.
Right.
Because yeah. of what other people will think. Right.
Right. Like what someone else is going to think of me if I were to share this.
Yes. Yes. And also the idea that I think often, I think it's getting better now, but on social media, on Pinterest, even in people's real life relationships, when nobody is sharing the negative stuff or the difficult, like the struggles, like the hard parts of being a mom, mm-hmm. then you feel like you can't share it either. So you're right. like, nobody else feels this way. So you think that you're the only one. And, you know, if you say something, like I used to always think, oh, like, are people going to think that I hate being a mom just mm-hmm. because I have these difficult moments? Right. And it's
these,
not the case.
These like, human difficult moments, right? Like these difficult yes. moments make you so human that this misbelief that somehow motherhood is all joy and you're not yeah. supposed to have any of those hard feelings. And then when we put that pressure on top of us, those feelings just become bigger when we kind of mm-hmm. try to contain them in a box, right?
Yeah, for sure. So I, for whatever reason, I don't mind sharing like these real life situations with people. And then also what I do a lot is when I do go through a difficult situation, I will reflect on that situation and think like, why did I feel that way? Like, how could this situation have turned out differently? Like, what did I do that didn't help the situation? What did my husband do? Like, you know, like really think about what was going on.
Yeah.
And I think during quarantine, especially, like I had so many realizations and I was like, wow, this must be what stay-at-home parents feel like often, you know, with the other, with their partner going working full-time and they're mm-hmm. staying home with the kids. Like it was difficult. And there were lots of, yeah, like just aha moments.
Yeah. And Renee, I think what you're already touching on there for today's conversation is around one of those taboo topics that people mm-hmm. don't want to talk about. It's kind of twofold there. One is relationships. You know, can, for those who are listening, ask yourself, when was the last time I actually shared something difficult about my relationship with a friend? Right? Probably not often. Yeah. But then the other piece that I want to talk to you about today is around sleeping in separate bedrooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm curious first, when you shared that in your community, what were other people's reactions? What were your followers' reactions and comments to you sharing that?
It's so funny because the reaction was not what I expected. Hmm. There was, I think it was a TikTok that I initially put out, and like we had been sleeping separately for a while and I just never said anything because I was like, I don't want people to assume that, right. you know, we have a crappy relationship because we don't. And I knew that that's what people would think, or of course people are going to think, oh, they must never have sex because mm-hmm. they don't physically sleep next to each other at night.
Which is the finally, shame that comes up with this conversation though, right? Is that yes. people don't want to talk about it because there's so much shame behind it that somehow there's something faulty in our relationship. And actually, I had found a 2017 survey from the National Sleep Foundation, actually found that 1 in 4 sleep in separate beds,
uh-huh.
which is a pretty high number.
And that's when I posted that TikTok, the comments, there was hundreds and hundreds of comments of people like, yep, us too, me too.
Wow.
Like we haven't slept together in years and like we have a great relationship. And I was shocked because I was not expecting that. So yeah, I think it's a lot more common than we think because it's one of those things that people don't want to talk about. And I remember so vividly as a child having a friend whose parents didn't sleep together. And I remember thinking like, oh, wow, like, are they going to get a divorce? Like, right. As a child, that's what I'm thinking.
Yes, of course, because that's the messaging around what it means yes. to be in a loving relationship. I'm so glad you brought that up. And it's so interesting that you had that experience, which I think many of us do, in the sense of what does it mean to be in a loving relationship? It means you have to sleep in the same bed.
Yes, it's yes. wild. And as an adult, my parents often don't sleep in the same bed, or like my mom will get up in the middle of the night and like go sleep on the couch. Mm-hmm. My dad is a silent sleeper, but my mom snores. Sorry, mom, if you're listening to this. And so, yeah, like,
and snoring is normal. Let's normalize snoring. Women also snore.
Exactly. So I think a lot of couples, same with my sister and her fiance, mm-hmm. like they oftentimes don't sleep in the same bed, same room because of like snoring. And so, yeah, it's been kind of normalized for me as an adult, but thinking back of my thoughts as a child, that's what I was thinking. Like, oh,
right.
People are on their way to a divorce if they're not sleeping in the same bed.
So there's actually a term for this. I was doing some reading about sleeping in separate beds, and the term is called sleep divorce.
Yes.
And it has a lot of stigma to it. And what that means is that sleeping apart is necessarily, which is a really important word in this definition, a sign of a loveless and sexless union, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how much stigma does that bring to it? And I think this is really why I wanted to have this conversation of, well, let's bust through that myth and stigma there, that just because you prioritize sleep, which is so important in your relationship, in you as a parent, you in your own mental health to function well, right? We need sleep and rest. It doesn't put those two things together.
Yeah. My experience with like my husband and I's experience, I have, if people are curious, I went through on episode 44 of my podcast, I went through like our entire sleep journey, like from sleeping together when we were dating and what that was like. And then, you know, when we were living together, and then, when I was pregnant, and then after we had Milo, because we did sleep together in the same bed up until we had Milo, and up until Milo was sleeping in his own crib. Mm-hmm. So we've gone through like all the different stages. Mm-hmm. And I don't think for me, especially, sleep was not such a priority until it was not in my control anymore. Right. So being a grad student, and my husband was a physician, we would go to bed at a normal time. And if, you know, he got called in the middle of the night, it wasn't a big deal. Like I could just go to bed early the next day or like take a chill day. You know what I mean? Like you had more control over both your sleeping and your daytime. Once you have a child, that's not an option anymore. And it's like, I know that the next day I'm going to be going nonstop, and I know that the next night I'm also going to be getting up 3 to 4 times, you know, like there's no kind of, like, oh, well, tomorrow I'm just going to rest or mm-hmm. yeah. So sleep became very important to me. And so that is when we started sleeping separately, because people will probably find this, you know, shocking, but my husband would sleep with the monitor upstairs, and I would sleep in the guest room downstairs with a sound machine on, so that I could sleep all night, because my husband is like a gifted sleeper. And so if he got up to feed Milo quickly, he could easily fall back asleep, whereas right. I would be up for hours.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's interesting, like, Renee, because what you're also saying there too is you're taking out that default parent piece, right? Where the default parent does everything. And you're saying, I have to prioritize sleep, and we can use our negotiation skills to navigate through this difficult time to make sure that however he is as a person, that he can show up well and you can show up well. So you get your sleep. And we know that the labor you do the next day with your son is taxing and exhausting, and you need sleep and rest for that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I always say, like, you have to do what works best for you. Like, how mm-hmm. can you as a team navigate this difficult time? Mm-hmm. So for us, just based on my husband's sleeping skills, that's what worked for us.
Right.
You know, if he was operating the next day or something, then I would sleep with the monitor. But yeah, that's what worked for us. And we still do that. But I did, for a while, I was like, okay, when are we going to sleep in the same bed again? You know, like starting mm-hmm. to feel that societal pressure,
right?
Or even just pressure on myself. Like, are we ever going to sleep in the same bed again? Like what is going on? And then we tried for like a week and I was like, no, not mm-hmm. ready to do it yet.
I really like that you're sharing this sort of progression of what sleep looks like in our relationship, and that oftentimes what people do, especially let's think of attachment styles, someone who's more anxious attachment, and if there's distance in a relationship, distance as we aren't spooned together every night, distance as we're sleeping, you know, on the different sides of beds because it's better to snuggle a pillow than to be cranked into the arm, or distance as in separate beds, that distance for someone who's more anxious really feels threatening and scary. Mm-hmm. And instead we can say relationships change over time. You aren't going to be snuggled in the way you were when you first started dating, right? The limerence period, the honeymoon stage of your relationship. That's just not possible.
Yeah. It changes.
We've recently had several periods of me sleeping, and we called our dream suite in the basement. So one day it was maybe four nights. I really needed my rest and sleep for the work I was doing the next day, needed a clear mind. And my son likes to wake up several times in the night. And if we're disturbed, it's hard for us to fall back to sleep. And we actually had that moment of coming together and saying, we're okay though, right? Like this is a stage, this is a season. And we both had said, yeah, this is just what we need to do to be well right now. This doesn't have anything to do with the amount of love we have and our intimacy together. So I'm curious, how do you and your partner then manage that piece together?
So it's interesting because initially it wasn't like a thought. It's kind of like survival mode in the really early stages of having a baby, right?
Right.
So that wasn't even really a thought. But now, and then, okay, so over quarantine, this is what happened, and maybe people can relate to this, even if you're a stay-at-home parent, maybe. What would happen is I was home all day with Milo. He was at a difficult age, 18 months. So it's like you're on top of him 24/7 because he's going to hurt himself, you know, putting things in his mouth, like all those things. And the tantrums, and we couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't see friends. It was a lot. And so by the evening, I just wanted to be alone, like in my room, in the dark, watching my shows. Mm-hmm. Like I had like sensory overload all day. And so that's often what would happen. Like I would go up to bed really early. And I feel like that kind of became a routine. So even
did you guys talk about that in terms of like, this is what I need right now. This isn't about you.
Yes. During quarantine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's really important that we let our partners know, like, this is a season we're in. This is a difficult time. This isn't about you personally. It's not about our love. This is about me and my needs and the fact that I'm just touched out and overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't an issue in quarantine. And I knew it was a temporary situation. But then I think something like that becomes a routine. Mm-hmm. And so it was really hard to break out of that. And I wasn't, you know, going up at 8 p.m., but now maybe I was going up at like 9 p.m. instead, like once quarantine was over and Milo was back in school. And yeah, that was my routine. Go up, get in bed early, watch my show. And so only recently, like in the last couple weeks, I was like, okay, this is dumb. Like, I don't like that. What I'm looking forward to during the day is to go and sit by myself. Mm. Like, why is that what I'm looking forward to? And so, yeah, I had like these.
So in some ways of like, it's like, this was functional at one point. It was really working for me then, but maybe it's not what I need now.
Yes.
Right. Like there's a difference between needs and routine and habit.
Yes. Mm. And that's what I was finding. This is all like within the last couple of weeks. Like I had this like breakdown before, like a week before Christmas. And I was like, oh my God, everything sucks. Like this is not working. And it was, you know, I was too focused on like my phone and like checking TikTok, checking Instagram. And it's like, why? Like, you're not missing anything. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And so I really just had, I was barely on social media for like 3 or 4 days. And I was just thinking, and I'm like, there's so many things that I want to change. Like, I need to be focused on what I'm doing during the day. I need to spend quality time with my husband, because I don't, this routine, even though I look forward to it and I'm like, relaxing by myself and my room, obviously it's not working for me anymore and it's not making me happy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we just like flipped everything around. Now we're trying to, you know, have dinners together so that we're actually like, yesterday we sat down, had dinner together, and we're like talking, you know, like, wow, what a concept.
Yeah. Right. And sometimes we get stuck in that though, right? We get stuck in the survival and kind of the two ships passing in a night, just because that is what we needed initially. And then we kind of stay stuck there. And it is about saying, okay, what can we shift? And then making that change. I strongly recommend couples eat a meal a day together to find some way to do that, right? That it's a really good connection point to not have our phones on the table or volumes on if we can during a certain period of time, just to rebuild that connection.
Yeah. That was my other thing, was when Milo comes home from school, I don't want us to have our phones, which is difficult for me because, you know, I story my days.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was the one thing. It was like, if I want a story quickly, like while we're having dinner or like Milo playing with the dogs, like I'm going to do that, but then that's it. Like,
yeah.
So
it's so, I appreciate you normalizing that, Renee. I think a lot of people will relate to that and kind of ask themselves, how is this working for me? Our phones are addictive, and it's this very much an easy draw inwards into it, but then we're missing what's around us, missing that connection. And when I think of that sleep piece, I had this conversation with clients recently too, that sleeping in separate rooms, it depends on why you're doing it, right? So are you doing it as a punishment to each other, or because you're having a fight or you're angry at each other? Or are you doing it because you do want to have a loving and healthy relationship and you do care about each other, and being rested means that the next day, if your partner, you know, my example I like to use is, if he leaves his sock on the floor, right? I'll have to pick up his socks again. If I'm tired, I'm going to be irritable. I'm going to be more short and frustrated and critical. But if I'm rested, I can say, oh, look, the sock, I'll just pick it up. Here we go. Put in the bin again, right? And move on.
Yeah. So 100%. And you know what? It's interesting that you say that, because just in the last week where I've made these changes, or we have in the house, and I forget who I was explaining this to, maybe it was my husband. But I was like, your thoughts throughout the day are different. So I'm not irritated and annoyed at something small that my husband did. I'm like, oh, he's the best. Like, we're, you know, like, look, we're such good parents. Like, I'm excited for him to come home. Maybe I should see if he can go for lunch today. Because we spent last night together cuddling and watching our show and like giving each other kisses and stuff, instead of, you know, at 9 p.m. I'm going to rush up to my room and sit by myself.
Connection builds more connection, right? We start to feel good when we nurture that part.
Yes. And it changes your thought patterns. Mm-hmm. A quote, and I'm not going to say it perfectly, but I'll just give you the gist of it, from the Matthew McConaughey autobiography.
Yes, yeah.
He made this point, and I'll never forget it. And he was like, today I made love to my wife. And he said, not because I wanted to, but because I know that making love to my wife today is going to make the wine tonight taste better, is going to enhance our conversation this evening, is going to, you know, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. It's
right.
Like, these behavioral changes will change the future, and it rolls into your thought process and enhancing your future interactions. I love it.
Yeah, it's this idea of making choices. And I hear this from most of my followers are women. So I hear this from the women in my community of, why should I have to change? Why do I have to do this? Why should I initiate this when my partner's not doing any of it? And I always like to ask the question of, well, how would you feel putting your head on the pillow at the end of the day when you act in alignment with what's important to you? So if your relationships are important to you, act as if you are connected. Act as if you feel close. Which is, you know, something simple. This morning I poured the coffee and added the cream and brought it to my partner, right? Like, it's a small gesture that doesn't take much effort, but it's going to lead to all of the other good feelings during the day.
Yeah, for sure. And it's that way with relationships, and it's that way with yourself as well. Like, so changes what's in, like when you said, what's important to me?
Yeah.
Well, it's important to me that I'm like active. But for some reason, I was not doing that at all. And so making that small change, it's like keeping these promises to yourself and doing things that matter to you. And it just changes your whole mental, you know, your thoughts.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking about, again, that piece of, okay, so sleep is important. We're going to sleep in separate rooms. Then let's find some ways that we do the bridging again, right? How do we connect then? How do we have a connection point in the morning? How do we have a connection point in the evening before then we separate? And then also too, how do we prioritize intimacy and sex in those moments? Because again, I mean, I actually recommend to people, don't save sex to the end of the day. Nobody has energy at 10:30 p.m. when you've, you know, washed off everything and you're scrubbing on your face cream, right? Like, it's perhaps not the time where you feel the most sexy or have energy to do it. So we don't have to link sex and bed sleeping together. We can keep them separate.
Yeah. I wrote this post a little while ago about like relationship compassion, because I feel like after having kids, a lot of people have less intimate moments, which I think is totally normal.
And less compassion for each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think people look at what their relationship was before having kids and, you know, maybe how often they were intimate. And then they compare what their relationship is now to that. And so it's frustrating. But you have to look at what stage of life are you in currently and have a little bit of compassion for yourself, for your partner, and for your relationship, because it's not going to be the same as it was before.
Right.
So do we have less intimate moments? 100%, especially with, you know, the pandemic and with COVID, because there's less opportunity for us to like go on dates, to have my mom come babysit and get a hotel room, or, you know, make these special date nights. So yeah, it's been difficult. And especially with my husband's job, he's on call a lot. So he, you know, many evenings he is at the hospital. And yeah, that's, I used to say, like, often we would be intimate when Milo would nap. Milo used to have these like glorious 3-hour naps during the afternoon. But now that's not a thing. He doesn't nap anymore. So it is difficult to find the time. But I recommend that you do it not in the late, late evening, but like right after the kid goes to bed.
I sat with Heidi Murkoff on her What to Expect podcast, and she shared the story that she used to tell the kids that they're doing laundry. And so the kids knew not to go into the laundry room because they were doing laundry together. And I thought, you know,
special laundry,
right? But hey, whatever works to be able to put sex into your relationship, because it is important. This is another hangup that we often get stuck on. I get a lot of DMs around this one of the, well, we can't get a babysitter. We don't get to go out for dinner. We don't get the weekends away. And it's very much that all or nothing thinking around what it means to date your partner again. And it's like trying to find the gray areas, the special moments, the, you know, getting out a board game, or we picked up, I can't remember the game, Exploding Kittens, maybe. It's a card game. Okay. And, you know, even when the kids were having their playtime after dinner, we would get out the cards and sit there together. We weren't distracted by TV or phones. And then we would just go back and forth and who would win. And it would feed that sense of connection together in a time where we're not going to hotels. We're not having a vacation away from the kids. We are not having regular date nights.
Yeah. It's focusing on the little things as opposed to, you know, the bigger getaway from the house completely. I actually bought my husband a puzzle for Christmas and he's like, you got me a puzzle? I'm like, yeah, I want us to start doing puzzles.
And did he's you like, start?
No, not yet. But he was like, okay. But yeah, get puzzles. My sister and her fiance do puzzles now. And it's just something to do in the evenings. We try and find TV series like that we're both interested in that we can, you know, look forward to watching together. And yeah, a big thing also with not having the phone in the evening that I've noticed is we sit down to watch a show together. And when it's a commercial, I'm not picking up my phone and checking Instagram.
Right.
I'm talking to my husband. I'm like kissing him. I'm, you know, whatever it is, what we're doing, I'm not picking up my phone, but that's what used to happen. Like, oh, it's a commercial. Okay. I'm going to pick up my phone.
Right.
Like it's crazy.
Which is it's the small acts of disconnection, right? That you're on one screen and then you turn into your own world. And yeah, that can just lead us to feel so lonely and isolated.
Yeah.
Something that we need to shift.
Yeah. The, activities in the home. I know a couple, this family tree, Alex and Shane, they do regular date nights where like they, after the kids go to bed, they order in Uber Eats. They, you know, have a special wine that they're going to open, whatever it might be. And I was like, I love that. That's, you know, making a plan. And that's what I figured out with us is like, these things are not just going to happen. You need to physically look for a babysitter. You need to plan out a date night. You need to plan it out. It's not just going to happen. And I think that's, you just get into a routine and
it's the kind of putting the motivation beforehand, right? You think when I feel like it, I will do it. And the truth is that we need to do the things and then you will start like feeling like doing the things afterwards, right? It's the classic gym example. No one wants to go to the gym. No one wants to put their running shoes on and be like, oh, I can't wait to run in the same spot on a treadmill. But then afterwards, rarely do people say, oh, I regret going for that walk. I regret doing those things. I regret, you know, whatever it is, but it is the don't wait for motivation. Don't wait for something outside of you to change. You get to make those choices.
Yeah. It's the same with sex. Like if we go a long period without having sex and then we have sex, we're like, we should do this more often.
Right. Yeah. We should. That's such a common thing right afterwards of like, oh yeah, this was good. This didn't take that. It wasn't that hard. We like this. We should do it good more. Renee, thank you so much for sitting with me today and talking about this conversation. I just know so many people are going to connect to prioritizing their sleep, making the decision to sleep in separate beds, which is common, and to really take away the shame from that, that like, this is what people are doing. And it doesn't
I should point out that back in the day, so I looked into like the history of why couples sleep in the same bed.
Yes.
And so initially entire families slept in the same bed together just out of necessity, like financially beds were expensive for warmth, for security.
Yeah.
And then kings and queens were the ones that had separate bedrooms.
Yes, that's right. What we see on The Crown, right? That we see Queen Victoria in her separate room. And so it was a status symbol.
Yes. Like I can sleep by myself. And so if you guys sleep separately, just know that you're a queen.
I love it.
I'm like, I am a queen.
And also too, I did a bit of reading as well. And part of that then was around the sexual revolution, right? That if you're sleeping in the same bed, then you're having great, passionate, frequent sex, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. Again, that's not really what this is about. We can still have two things.
The one thing also that I will say is people look at couples, you know, there's a stigma, like if you're not sleeping in the same bed, you're not happy, but there are a lot of couples that do sleep in the same bed and they don't have good relationships. Like sleeping in the same bed physically overnight does not make a good relationship.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And the research around that actually, so there is no research to say that your connection is worse if you do not share a bed. There's no research showing that. We also know that correlational research is tough, right? Because you can find correlations between, you know, the type of cheese you eat and the moon cycle. But there is a correlation that is shown that if you have incompatible sleep schedules, that that's related to relationship difficulties. And I do believe that, right? So if one person is more of an owl, the other person prefers to get up early, you're going to struggle a bit more in terms of connection, in terms of spending time together. But we can navigate that by doing things for each other, by compromising around what activities and tasks are done. It doesn't have to be this, you know, we're mismatched, so there's no hope for us.
Yeah. No, yeah, we're mismatched and we're fine. So
it takes good communication skills and connection, which is what you have shared today, Renee, just this idea of prioritizing connection. It doesn't have anything to do with sleeping in the same bed or not.
No, for sure.
So where can people find you?
Yes. So I'm on Instagram and TikTok. My handle or my name now is at Renee Rena with the little underscore thing. And then the podcast is called The Mom Room Podcast. And I talk about all kinds of things and have amazing guests. If you want to hear my episode with Tracy, it's episode 67, and it's all about resentment. And yeah, it's one of the most popular episodes.
So. Is it really?
Yeah.
It was such a good episode. We had a great conversation around resentment. I'll put all of the links in the show notes so people can find it easily. Renee, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for today's episode. I think one of the most powerful things we are doing today for ourselves, but also in our relationships, is to become aware of how we view things and to make decisions based on what is going to be best for us, regardless of what your best friend might be doing, or regardless of what an article says, or what your in-law or parent says about your choices. I think this is so important and is at the essence of what it means to live a meaningful life. It has to work for you. Okay, let's talk about some key points that I am taking forward from this episode, and I want you to hold on to them as well. First, let's just normalize the hard in motherhood. I love how Renee openly talks about how you are going to experience these difficult moments, that these mean you are human, and that we don't get to move away from the hard of this season. I recently texted friends after having a really hard parenting day, and I had said, I know I'm not alone, but just remind me I'm not alone in this. This is hard, right? This parenting gig is hard. And they came back with just this biggest dose of compassion, which is, we're in it with you. This is hard. You're doing the best that you can. Let's just hold on to that. And now let's talk about what it means to prioritize sleep. Sleeping in separate beds does not mean that you have a bad relationship or that you aren't having sex. So let's remove the shame that comes with this conversation. And I want you to trust that you know your relationship best. And here is something that I want you to take forward. And that is that you and your partner get intentional at the end of the day. This is whether you share a bed or you don't share a bed. But imagine every night having 10 minutes, no distractions, no devices, and you sink into what was hard about your day today, or what was something that happened today that you wish you could have told me. These moments of connection are what bring us closer together, whether you sleep in the same bed or not. And if you do, actually, I'm going to backtrack that, whether you're sleeping in the same bed or not. I was going to say, if you are sleeping in separate beds, but I think this is true, whatever your sleeping positions are right now, and that is, create a way of saying goodnight. It's like your way of parting. Because of course, you know, I know some people, their argument against this is, well, we need to be together. I want to feel my person there. And the reality is you're unconscious and you don't actually know that the other person is there or not. I know that comes with a caveat, of course. I know some people need to feel the comfort of the other person there. But I just want you to know that whatever your sleeping arrangement is, you can create some sort of ritual to feel that sense of connection and saying goodnight. Whether that is about hugging and kissing and saying, I love you, whether it's about sharing something that you're grateful for, about being together, some kind of routine there to help bridge that connection. All right. If you found this episode helpful, I would love for you to share it with someone who might benefit from it. I would also love for your reviews. You can click the 5 stars, leave some words for me. I love reading your reviews, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Also, I want to know what you want to hear on the pod. One of the things that's tricky is that I don't have my DM box here for you to just click reply as you're listening. So you can tell me what you want to hear more on, or you can ask me a specific question and get as specific as you want. Go to my website, drtracyd.com/podcast, and fill out the form there. You can keep it anonymous. You can let me know what you want to hear. You can share with me a really hard moment and look for direction, because I'm also answering your questions here on the pod. And if you haven't yet, and you are looking for something to be different in your relationship, be sure to check out two of my favorite resources. One is my 100 questions to help you deepen your connection. This one is a favorite one. Greg and I took it on our date night. We had fun with it. And I even started bringing some of the questions to the table with the kids. And it is so much fun. And of course, we are here at the 6-month mark of when my book was released. And the reviews continue to blow my mind. Check out my book. Come along with me and the clients in my therapy room who all said the very same thing. I didn't sign up for this. My book is available on all formats, and you can purchase the book wherever you buy books, and the audio is available only on Audible. All right, until next time, take good care of you, and I will see you next week. Remember, this podcast is for educational purposes only and does not substitute for the care from a licensed mental health care provider.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome to For the Girls podcast, hosted by Victoria Alario, for the girls who want more. Listening to For the Girls will have you ready to raise the bar, stop settling for the bare minimum, and start believing you can have it all, and step into the 2.0 version of you. You can catch a new episode of For the Girls every Monday across all podcast platforms. Until next time, girls.